Book of John, chapter number 12. John, chapter 12. And I'd like to read verses 44 down through verse number 50. This will be the fourth message on the subject of the Holy Bible. Message number four on the subject of the Holy Bible. In verse 44, the Bible said, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father saith unto me, so I speak. Let's go, Lord, in the word of prayer tonight as we begin. Pray that the Lord would have us to preach pleasing to Himself. Let His name be glorified and His name be honored. Lord, I thank You for Your presence with us. Lord, I thank You for our church. And Lord, what a precious thing it is to meet together in the house of God to worship You. Lord, I'm grateful, Lord, that You have strength and honor. And Lord, I know that Your Word is here with us. Lord, I pray that we might be able to use it, pleasing to Yourself, we might be able to expound this doctrine here tonight, or that this people might be able to understand. I pray, Lord, that You might just keep us from harm. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to You. And Lord, I pray that You might touch hearts, that those who are lost will be saved before it's eternally too late. Forgive us now and keep us close to You. Of course, in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. As I was reading through this, I saw in verse number 44 that the Bible says that Jesus cried. Now, I know what crying is, and I think you know what crying is. That's a boo-hooing, right? But I don't think that Jesus Christ, in this case, was boo-hooing at all. I think the word crying there is talking about the emphasis that he is putting upon his words. He was in great distress, you might say, when he cried and said these things. And what made me think about this was the previous verses. Why was Jesus crying? Why was he in such anguish of spirit and heart? Why did he have all this on his mind? Look with me what the Bible says here in John chapter 12 and verse number 37. The Bible said in this place, and just read with me verse 37 down through verse number 43. The Bible said, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. I think that's a tragic thing, that these people had actually seen the miracles that Christ had done, but they didn't believe on Him at all. They didn't trust Him. They didn't rely upon Him at all. In verse number 38, here's the reason. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, saying, Who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things saith Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Now, I think this is one point, that Jesus, when he was walking upon this earth, that he saw their blindness. It's a tragic thing that they don't understand at all. They don't get it at all. And the reason is because they don't believe in Him. And they don't believe in Him. The Bible said in verse 38 that what Isaiah said was absolutely the truth. And so their eyes are blinded. Verse number 40 said their eyes are blinded, their heart is hardened, that they should not see with their eyes and understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. That's one thing that Jesus Christ saw about all this. The other thing is in verse number 42 and 43. The Bible said, this is the second thing. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on Him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, think about what Jesus Christ really saw here. He saw people that refused to believe and trust Christ. They saw the miracles they did, and they would have to have some kind of explanation, you would think, as to how all these miracles came to pass. But they had none at all. But they did not believe in Christ. They did not trust Him. They did not rely upon Him. Instead, they simply backed off from that. But then Jesus Christ saw something else. He saw those, in verse 42 and 43, those that did believe, they were afraid. They were, I don't know if you want to say they were ashamed, but they were afraid, I think. Maybe more afraid than ashamed. I don't know. But they didn't confess that Jesus was the Christ. And many of these, the Bible says, were the chief rulers of the synagogue. Look in verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on Him. So here's some Pharisees that believe in Christ, and they're the chief rulers. He's not just a secondary ruler. This is a chief ruler. They believe. But they do not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. So they were afraid of losing their position, an earthly position they were afraid of losing. That's a terrible thing. No wonder that Jesus Christ, in verse number 44, cried. There was a sadness about this. There was a longing for Christ, that these people would really hear and understand and do right. But they didn't do right at all. Notice in the book of Mark, chapter number 5. Mark 5. The Bible here in this place tells us about a man who was a ruler of the synagogue, and he was in desperate need of help. Now, he was a ruler in the synagogue. Understand that these are the very people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that killed Christ. Jairus was his name. The Bible said in Mark chapter 5 and verse number 21, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto Him, and He was nigh unto the sea. Verse 22, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue. Now who is he? He is one that rules in the synagogue. These are the ones that Christ is talking about in John chapter number 12. These are the ones He's talking about. And here's his problem in verse 23. Now remember that this man is a ruler in the synagogue, and he wants Jesus Christ to do something for him. The Bible said, when he saw Him, he fell at his feet, verse 22, verse 23, and besought him greatly. Understand. And don't read over these words very quickly. Because sometimes when we just read over words, I find myself waking up after a while. So don't do that. All right? He besought Jesus Christ greatly because he had a real difficult problem he was facing. He said, "My little daughter," boy, if you ever want to melt a daddy's heart, you can affect their children, affect those little girls or little boys. That will melt the coarsest dad's heart. I mean, it gets to him. And this to show you this. This man, Jairus, is a ruler in the synagogue. Understand that. And understand that in the synagogue, you didn't go to Christ for anything except to accuse him. Alright? And here, this man, Jairus, went to Christ because his daughter lieth at the point of death. In verse number 23, he says, "I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she may live." This is what Jairus really wanted, for Christ to come and heal his little daughter. She was sick. Not only sick, she was sick nigh unto death. So the Bible said in verse number 24, Jesus went with him, and much people followed them and thronged him. So there was a lot of people around them as Jesus Christ was going to Jairus' house. But there was an incident on the way. I don't know how Jairus handled all this. I don't know how he handled it. Because my children are very precious to me. And your children are very precious to you. And you would do anything in the world to help them. You do anything possible. And if you went to see a doctor to help your sick child, and the doctor said, "Oh, I will come and I will see about your sick child." And on the way, there was somebody else that stood there and said, "I need you too." Now, the Bible said in verse 25, this woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. That's a long time. She had spent everything she had on physicians, trying to get an aid. The Bible said in verse 26, she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and had nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. So nothing was helping at all. She was broke. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. She said this, "If I can just get up there, if I can just touch his garment, if I can just touch his garment, I'll be whole." Verse 29, straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, that is power, that's what the word virtue means, is power, and going up and turned about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now remember that Jairus was there too. The throng of people were there. And Jesus stopped in the middle and said, "Who touched my clothes?" as he looked. And Jairus was saying, "Who cares? I got a girl that's sick. You're supposed to come take care of her. But you're not. You're stopping now because you said, 'Who touched me? What's this about? Come on, let's go.'" You ever get in a hurry? I won't ask you if you did or not, but I did. But sometimes we do. Because of our own immediate needs, we need those things. In verse number 31, the disciples said to him, "Why? Who are you talking about? What are you saying? Who touched me?" In verse 32, he looked round about him to see her that had done this thing. Notice this. In verse number 32, Jesus Christ already knew it. because the Bible uses the word her. It wasn't him, it was her. And who was her? She had an issue above her 12 years, and she's broke as she could be. She didn't have nothing to give. But she said, I need help from the Lord. I need help, and I pray that God would help me. In verse number 33, the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, she knew she was healed. She knew it. How long did the healing take? I mean, a second? I think quicker. How long does it take to save a soul? How long does it take the Lord to save a soul? It's quicker. I tell you what, all your troubles are over when the Lord saves your soul. Well, I said that wrong. You'll probably still have troubles. But God will be there to help you through them. All right. And the woman came fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Where was Jairus? I don't know. But I can see him as he is up ahead of the group saying, come on, come on. And Jesus is back here talking with this woman. And she's confessing everything. How long would that take? 2 minutes? 5 minutes? 15 minutes? Maybe it was a half hour. Hurry up, here's the thing. I don't know how long it was. I don't have any idea how long it was. But Jesus said unto her, verse 34, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And verse 35 says that while he yet spake, get this, I don't know how much time went by. I have no idea how much time went by. If it was 5 minutes, Jairus would think that's 5 minutes too long. I want my daughter to be healed. I've asked you to come and heal my daughter, and I need you to come and heal my daughter. The Bible says in verse number 35, while he yet spake, there came a ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troubles thou the master any further? I would imagine when Jairus heard this word that he was rather distraught. Your daughter's dead. Don't bother me anymore. It's done. It's done. In verse number 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Believe what? Believe what? You sent for me, Jairus. Now, get the picture here. Jairus is the ruler of the synagogue. A lot of the Jews didn't believe Christ at all, especially those of the synagogue. And Jairus is a ruler in the synagogue. And he had come to get Christ to save his little daughter from death. And now she's died. And now Jairus hears Jesus say, be not afraid, only believe, only believe. Well, that'd be a tough thing. But then Jesus Christ, he's centered on this quest. Because the Bible said in verse 37, and he suffered no man to follow him. So now Jesus Christ told everybody else, you've been thronging me all the way. You know what the word thronging means? That means that they're actually so close to Christ that they're nearly carrying him along. But Jesus Christ then separates the group. And he said, now, you go this way. You go somewhere else. I don't care where you go, but you don't follow us now. It's not your place to do that. The Bible said, he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the ruler of the house of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. There were lots of people outside crying because the girl had just died. And when he was come in, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? And the damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they thought, this guy is off his rocker. This guy is Looney Tunes, big time. I mean, the girl is dead. He said, she's sleeping. He don't understand. That's what they're saying. In verse 40, they laughed him to scorn. They made fun of him. They ridiculed him. When he put them all out, he taketh the father, the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. He took the damsel by the hand and said to her, Tabitha Kuma, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel rose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly to tell no man, that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Now, Jesus Christ, in the book of John, chapter number 12, this is part of the reason that he's crying. He wants the people to know the real truth. He wants the people to know that he can heal, he can save, he can even raise the dead. He has something more for these people. That's why he's crying. You see, back in John 12, Jesus Christ, he is crying because he knows that those people that don't want to believe, that will not believe, that's in verse 37, John 12, 37 down through verse 41. He knows that's so. But he also knows in verse 42 and 43 that these people, they're afraid to speak up because they'll be cast out of the synagogue. He knows that's so. Jairus was led to Christ because of a desperate situation that he faced. You know, it's possible that God might put us in a desperate situation that we might call upon the Lord. He might bend our wills. He actually could break our wills and make it so that he would get all the glory and all the honor and all the praise and not us. He could do that. I don't doubt that one bit. That's why in verse 44, these words really ring out true. In John 12, in verse 44, when Jesus Christ was saying this valuable truth, he said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. That is absolutely the truth. Not just because Jesus Christ said it, but it is the truth. A person is saved when they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he has paid for their sins on the cross of Calvary. That's it. You can talk about words all you want to talk about words. But that's what it amounts to. Notice, if you would, in verse 45, "And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me." Read, what does that say again? "And he that seeth me," Jesus Christ is saying, "he that seeth me seeth him that sent me." He is speaking here in spiritual terms, not in physical terms at all. If they really see Jesus, if they really see Jesus in a spiritual way, then they've sent the one, they also see the one that has sent Jesus into the world. Look with me in Matthew 24. I think it's where it is. No, it's not there. There's a scripture that talks about people that see Jesus, but they don't see the Father. And that's a bad thing. People that say, Matthew 24, here it is, in verse number 5, this is the verse. Matthew 24, verse 5. In verse 4, the question was asked. The disciples came to Christ privately and said, "Tell us, what shall be the sign of thy coming or the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." There it is. I heard a guy yesterday on the internet, and he was talking about how that you need to recognize that Christ is in the head of everything. And I listened to him very carefully, but he never mentioned God the Father at all. He never mentioned it at all. It's always about Jesus. Maybe what he said was right, but I wonder if he really knows Christ himself. I really wonder if he really knows the Lord, Jesus Christ, if he knows God. Look again in the book of John, chapter 12. John 12, in verse number 46. Jesus Christ said, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness." Now, notice what he said there in verse number 46. Does verse 46, is Jesus Christ saying the opposite thing in verse 46 as he said in verse 44? In verse number 44, Jesus said to those that believe on, he said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." In verse number 46, he said, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Is he saying the same thing? But in verse number 44, he is referring to believing in God the Father. That's what he says. In verse number 46, he says, "You must believe on me." What Jesus Christ is getting across in English language here is that He is God. There's no denying that at all. He is God. He is a part of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We sung about that this morning. Page number 1, I think, in the red book, in the big blue book. Page number 1. Turn over and read that sometime. If you hadn't read it in a while, it'll be good for you to see that the triune God that's mentioned there in that song. Christ has made it very clear that you can believe in Jesus and believe in God at the same time. In verse 47, "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not." Verse 47, he said, and Christ will not judge. He will not. But the Bible says, "For I came not into the world to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him." There's somebody else that judges the person. It's not me, but it is rather the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And so there is. That's the word of God that will judge. Look in John chapter 1. In John chapter 1. And what the Bible says here in this place. John chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible is absolutely, totally right. It's complete. In the beginning was the Word. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word. In verse 48 of John chapter 12, he says, you have one that judged them, the Word that I have spoken. The Word of God will judge. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We could even say the Word is God, because it's a spiritual book. In verse number 2, the same was in the beginning with God. The Bible was complete before it was ever written down. All right? It was whole. It was right. The Bible said in verse number 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Not only in verse number 4 was in him is the life. Not only did Jesus Christ create this world by speaking it into existence, but he also is the real light, the spiritual light that lights every man. Look in John 12 and verse number 46. What the Bible says here is John 12, verse 46. And we read this verse to you. I am come a light into the world. Whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Christ is the light of the world. He is a spiritual vision, you might say. He gives light to all the world. If you turn off those lights, this room would be pretty dark because it only got those two windows in it. It'd be pretty dark. But there's light that only God can give. The Bible goes on in John 1 and verse number 6. Well, in verse number 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This is the cry of the Savior in John 12 and verse number 44. When he was crying because there was people that would not believe. They simply would not believe even though he did miracles and they didn't have any idea how he did them. But they would not believe on Christ. They would not do it. In verse number 6 of John 1. John 1 and verse number 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now notice. In verse number 7. The same came for a witness. John the Baptist came for a witness to testify of what? Of the light. The Bible said in verse number 7. The word light there is in capital L. It's a capital L, capital word. That's talking about Jesus Christ. He came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And Jesus Christ did miracles to cause people to have something in their mind to trust in. They said, at least to get their attention away from the things of this world, to see that they. Christ was different. But they didn't want to see it at all. They didn't want to see it at all. That's why that Christ cried in anguish at what was going on. In verse number 8 of John 1, verse number 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The Bible, in the word light, in verse 7, verse 8, and verse 9, is all capital letters. You know why? Because it's talking about Jesus Christ. He is the real, the true, He's a dedicated light of this world. Jesus Christ is. The Bible said in verse number 10 of John 1, He was in the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. In the days of Christ, there was people that did not understand that Jesus had made the world. You know what? We're living in the world in the year of our Lord, 2021. And you know, there's people today that still don't believe that the Lord made the heavens and the earth. They don't believe that. They don't understand that. The Bible said in verse number 11, He came into His own, and His own received Him not. Look at that. I think there, in verse number 11, it's talking about the Jewish people. He came into His own. Maybe not, but I think that's what it's talking about. In verse number 12, But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but nor the will of man, but of God. Let's go back to the book of John, chapter number 12. The Word of God will judge. It will judge those that do not believe the Word of God. They won't believe it at all. And Jesus is the Word. The Father is the Word. That's what John 1 talks about. The Bible said in verse 49, For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment that what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father saith unto me, so I speak. Jesus Christ always said His Father's will, and only His Father's will. That is a great, great thing that Christ did. I'm thankful that God has done all that for us. I'm really glad. This study tonight has been maybe a rather short study. I hope that's been invigorating. I hope that you have seen some things in this study that will help you in your life. Know that just because somebody sees a miracle, don't mean that they actually know the truth. Don't mean that they accept the truth at all. But it shows that in their life as well. That's what it is. Well, we're going to stop right there, and we'll take up with this message again as we preach again about the Holy Bible a little bit later on. If you're lost tonight, we pray for you that the Lord would bless you with eternal life. I know that He can wash away your sins. I know that He can. He can make you whole again, make you whole and clean. And we pray that the Lord would bless you tonight, that He would save your unworthy soul. None of us are worthy, but Christ can make us worthy. All right? All right, just stand if you would as we sing this song.